Muhammad Kaji, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi. How are you this?
Alhamdulillah, how's things on your side?
Alhamdulillah.
Excited to see the Future Leaders Program at ASRI.
Absolutely. We're relaunching on the 1st of August. We were going through the new curriculum yesterday, spending some time on that. And it's looking really exciting. We also went through the applicants that we've had so far. And the applicants are really strong. So we're looking forward to a good, strong group this year, inshallah.
All right, so Premier Makura has described the COVID-19 storm as having arrived in the province earlier than expected. For months, we've been hearing about the peak. Well, we're moving towards it, we're surging towards it at an earlier than expected rate and time. 20,000 new infections being reported in the last week of June compared to just 2,000 new cases between the second and end of June. What interventions is the provincial coronavirus or the provincial coronavirus command council considering to stem the spread now in our province, which is now the new epicenter?
Definitely, Molana. Gauteng is looking like it's going to be the epicenter for a while, for the next few months. The curve in the Western Cape has seemed to have flattened, but the trajectory of the curve in Gauteng is actually incredibly worrying, and that's the alarm that Premier Makura sounded this week, where he said that the provincial cabinet and the provincial command council were considering intervention specifically for the province and to recommend them to the national command council. We now have 50,000 active cases in the province. The health MEC Masuku is expecting the province to reach 120,000 cases by the end of July. So, just think about that in your head. 50,000 as it stands today, rising to 120,000 in the next 4 weeks, and then tripling almost to 300,000 at the end of August. So there's obviously going to be overcrowding in hospitals. There's going to be a need for clinicians in the hospitals to be making judgments on who gets a ventilator and who doesn't, where places are available within the health system. And this is everything that we were talking about in the hard lockdown at the end of March and early April. You know, the interventions that the cabinet has is generally the ones we've spoken about, but they may be reintroduced in Gauteng, specifically on the sale of alcohol, because we know that the sale of alcohol had an impact on non-COVID admissions in the hospitals, and obviously reducing the cases of, alcohol-related trauma and accidents and those sort of things entering into our emergency rooms frees up the capacity of our health system to focus on COVID. Restrictions on schools and the return to schools, restrictions on places of worship, possibly again being introduced in the province. But the Premier has been speaking about hotspot areas. This is something he hasn't really supported in the past, but now he's speaking about hotspot areas or specific municipalities in the provinces being locked down individually rather than the entire province being locked down. And the specific reason for that is really that, Gauteng is 25% of South Africa's economy. You lock down Gauteng, you basically lock down a quarter of South Africa's economy, and that obviously has impact on economic growth, on jobs, on the unemployment insurance fund, on a whole range of other knock-on effects that would have. So, the health MEC has also said that they've formed a bed committee in the province between the private sector and the public sector to look at bed occupancy in the different facilities in the province and be able to shift patients around and direct emergency medical services to where beds are available and reach some efficiency in that way. But, in all scenarios, we're in for a rough ride in July and August.
Now, Stats SA's GDP numbers for the first quarter showed a 2% decline in GDP before the lockdown was imposed at the end of March. What's your analysis, Mohammed?
The one concerning thing about this, and we've been speaking about economic concern all along for so long, is that if you look at the trajectory of the numbers in the third quarter of last year, there was a contraction in terms of economic growth, and then in the fourth quarter of last year, which is October, November, December, there was another contraction in growth. Now this was pre-lockdown, where we've seen a contraction of 2% in GDP, and the areas that made up this contraction, you look at the numbers, it says 21% of the contraction, or the mining sector contracted by 21% in the first quarter of this year. And this is pre-lockdown. This isn't when we're talking about the impact of COVID. Manufacturing declined by 9% in the first quarter of this year. The only sectors that grew substantially were the agriculture sector, which was 27%, and that's to be understood because the first quarter of this year is harvest season, which is the end of summer going into autumn. And then the other sectors were marginal, you know, the government sector, transport sector, personal services sector, all under 1%. So, and then what happens is we have the impact of the COVID pandemic and crisis, which forced a full wholesale lockdown in the economy. You know, we had the Minister of Finance speaking about a 7% decline in economic growth for this year, and all of the numbers that we spoke about in terms of the debt to GDP in the country going up to 4 trillion rand and so on. But the real concern is that this contraction of 2% can be tracked back to load shedding and Eskom. It seems proven that electricity supply and the cost of electricity specifically in terms of being able to provide reliable supply to those two sectors that I spoke about, manufacturing and mining, both contracting heavily before lockdown, was directly related to the issues with Eskom, which we seem to have forgotten because of, you know, the more visible and kind of impactful crisis on our doorstep, which is the health crisis. But, you know, when we get to the root cause of this, it's really Eskom. And now if we look at the impact that COVID would have on Eskom, we get to a situation where Eskom is generating electricity. There isn't a huge supply of electricity during this COVID crisis, which means that Eskom isn't generating the revenues that it requires to be able to cover its expenses, you know, the debt that it's taken on to build Kusile, Madupi, and so on. So now you have a situation where plausibly Eskom's going to ask for higher rates for electricity or higher charges for electricity from NERSA, because it's not going to make it's not going to balance its books and balance its budget in terms of the revenue that's required. So the knock-on effect of all of this that we haven't considered but is becoming much more stark now is that the economic growth scenarios that we're going to see with the COVID crisis over the next few months is going to impact on Eskom again and possibly feed back into our pockets in the form of electricity increases.
Labour Minister Tulus Ngesi has painted a bleak picture this week of the financial threat posed by growing joblessness to the UIF. Take us through the scenarios that he outlined and the broader impact that these scenarios playing out will have, Mohammed.
Now there's been reports during this week of the UIF obviously being under strain, and we know that this is due to the layoffs and the situation in terms of the economic growth due to COVID and what I've just described, which was the pre-COVID economic growth and load shedding and so on. And there's also reports of the CCMA taking strain, because obviously the CCMA is their first port of call for companies that are laying off, as well as individuals who have been laid off or have been unfairly dismissed. And in terms of the UIF, the minister outlined four scenarios, which is where unemployment rate peaks at either 41% or 53%, and a scenario where the payouts from the UIF are either 48 billion rand or 68 billion rand. And in these scenarios, the most worrying one, obviously, is if the unemployment rate peaks at 53%. And remember, we're sitting at an unemployment rate currently of 30. So this scenario is the UIF seeing unemployment going up by another 20% to 53%, meaning that the UIF will have to pay out 68 billion rand or more in benefits to workers and employees who are no longer in employment. And in this scenario, basically, that the UIF is insolvent. They're going to need to go to the Treasury for additional funds. They're going to need to ask for additional contributions from those who are paying to UIF, and furthermore, reduce the benefit to the UIF. So that's in the worst case scenario. In the best case scenario, they're saying unemployment rate goes up to 41%, which is an increase of roughly 11% on the unemployment rate that we're currently seeing. And in this scenario, 48 billion rand worth of benefits are paid out. There should be sufficient funds in the UIF to be able to pay out these benefits, but the fund would only return to being financially sound within 10 years. So in the broad kind of spectrum, what this UIF, these UIF scenarios point to is that institutions that we've, I guess, depended on, or workers have depended on, individuals over years have become institutions in our society, you know, unemployment insurance funds, public health, etc., are all starting to take strain due to the COVID crisis. And these scenarios from the UIF are pointing towards specific unemployment scenarios that we're going to see possibly in the next few months or 6 months. And those are things that we need to prepare for.
I suppose, Mohammed, you know, things are really bad when the ANC can't pay its staff on time.
Owen Helen Zillet draws attention to the DA by tweeting out comments that have absolutely no relevance to the crisis that everybody else is facing in the society. But absolutely true, Morana. And the one thing I guess I could point to is that there was also the Zondo Commission this week, right? Mm. That you had Popo Molefe at the Zondo Commission who was saying that, you know, the Transnet corruption benefit can be linked to the ANC and so on. And you know, so the Zondo Commission continues at the old Johannesburg City Council chambers. So, you know, it's bleak all round across the economy. And I think we should all just buckle up and be ready for, like I said, a rough ride for the rest of the year.
Yeah, may Allah ta'ala make it easy. Mohammed, jazakumullah for your time.
Ameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That was this week's Asri Report with Mohammed.